This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Our radio program is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and our website. Efforts are underway in the wake of the presidential election to sway the Democratic Party leftward versus continuing on its path of moderate to centrist liberalism. The National Nurses United, or NNU, who during the primary election threw its weight behind Bernie Sanders, is now lobbying hard for the leadership of Keith Ellison. Ellison, a congressman from Minnesota, says he will leave his position if he's elected to lead the Democratic and National Committee. Ellison was the first Muslim to be elected to Congress. While he is now being painted as an anti-Semite and critic of Israel by the Anti-Defamation League, the NNU and many other progressives have dismissed the accusations. My guest is Charles Idelson. He is the communications director with the National Nurses United. Welcome to the program, Chuck.
Well, welcome to you as well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, what led the nurses' union to feel that Keith Ellison was an appropriate leader for the DNC?
We actually have a long history of working with Keith Ellison on a number of issues that are vital to the direction that the Democratic Party, among others, needs to take. For example, a number of years ago, we began a campaign for a tax on Wall Street speculation. We call it the Robinhood tax. Keith Ellison actually sponsored the bill that we, based on a tax rate that we were proposing, that would levy a tax on Wall Street speculation that could raise up to $300 billion every year to fund a broad variety of human needs, healthcare for all, as in a single-payer healthcare reform, jobs at living wages, protecting our retirement security and Medicare and Social Security, raising the money we need to put an end to AIDS and address the climate crisis. Keith was the one who introduced that legislation at a time in which so many other legislators were failing to support the obvious way to raise revenue from those who broke our economy. But that's very indicative of the kind of person that Keith Ellison has been. We noted most recently, for example, that while many elected officials, including many Democrats, were taking a hands-off approach to the heroic fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline, Keith Ellison strongly supported the water protectors and the movement to protect human health and the sacred rights of the water protectors and the Standing Rock Sioux. But that's indicative of the kind of person that Keith has shown himself to be, as was the fact that he was an early supporter of Bernie Sanders' campaign. We strongly believe that's the direction that the Democratic Party has to go to break from its ties to the donor class and to the corporate class and Wall Street that has been the trend toward neoliberalism, which has characterized so much of the political and economic direction of so many of our elected leaders in both major parties.
So Chuck, Keith Ellison is black, Keith Ellison is Muslim, but setting all of that aside, Keith Ellison is progressive, right? I mean, that seems to be the most important defining characteristic of who he is.
Yes, that's correct. His profile is a good profile and representative of the future of progressive politics and Democratic Party as well. But it really is his progressive vision, his understanding that we do need to have politics that are oriented toward the working class, and I use the term working class, not just working people, and not alignment with those economic and political forces that have pushed the politics of austerity and deregulation and privatization that really is the trend of neoliberalism that is so characterized. Right. Politics in this country for the last 40, 50 years. We need a shift in that direction, as people like Thomas Frank have written about for some time. And that's really the direction we believe the Democratic Party needs to go and that the progressive movement is strongly aligned with. And that's the vision of politics that we believe Keith Ellison would bring as the chair of the Democratic Party.
Right. I mean, and folks like Bernie Sanders have been sort of getting into trouble for implying, or he's being sort of interpreted as having said that identity politics don't matter anymore. But I believe what he really said was we need to have people of color in leadership positions, but those people of color have to be progressive. And I mean, I feel like I personally very much agree with that. If we got Condoleezza Rice or, you know, even Hillary Clinton, for example, just being a certain identity is just not enough. I mean, we need progressives. We need people who have policies that actually benefit minorities and diverse communities. They don't, you know, it's not enough for them to simply hail from those communities. So Keith Ellison's personal identity is one thing, but if he was not a progressive, it's doubtful the nurses would back him.
That's certainly true. I don't think we would be backing Ben Carson to be the
chair. There you go. So let's talk about these attacks against him. The Anti-Defamation League seems to be the sort of sole point organization that is making suggestions that Keith Ellison is anti-Semitic because he made a speech in 2010 that they say implied that Israel was manipulating U.S. foreign policy and directing U.S. foreign policy, therefore he's an anti-Semite. John Nichols of The Nation came out with a very interesting article this week saying actually his positions align with them, and even Israeli publications like Haaretz have said that his positions align with the majority of American Jews in terms of their views on Israel. Can you address this issue?
Sure. I mean, I have a very personal reaction to that one. I myself am a Jewish American. I come from a family of Holocaust survivors. I've been to Israel many times. I have family there. I've also spent time on the West Bank talking to Palestinians. I am very much in agreement with a change in direction of U.S. policy toward respecting the rights of Palestinians as well as Israelis. And I think that is clearly the views of a broad swath of Jewish people in the United States. As was articulated by J Street in an op-ed in the Washington Post today. And I think it's also Bernie Sanders' politics. And you remember that Bernie Sanders, who was the first major Jewish candidate to almost win the White House, probably would have won if he'd been on the ballot in November. That he himself was also attacked for actually saying Palestinians have rights as well, and that we should have an equitable position in regards to Middle East politics in general and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in particular. We shouldn't have our policy toward Israel and Palestine dictated by AIPAC or by a very narrow lobby that doesn't represent the interest of all people in the Middle East and in the United States. So the smear campaign that's directed against Keith is a reflection of that, but it's also, I think a lot of us believe, a cover for those people that do not want the policies that are represented by Keith Ellison or Bernie Sanders having that influence in the Democratic Party. There's a lot of people still who are part of the Democratic Party establishment that are very comfortable and want to protect their decades-long ties to Wall Street, to the Chamber of Commerce, to those who believe that the allegiance of the Democratic Party and the alliance of the Democratic Party are with Wall Street, are with the Chamber of Commerce, are with the corporate interests that have done so much harm to working people in this country and to the working class in particular. I think a lot of us view these attacks on Keith as a cover for the fact that they don't want those politics reflected in the effort to move the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction.
And actually, what sort of resistance is this idea that Democrats would win better support if they move toward the left? What resistance is it getting from within the party? Is there still a sort of strong, stalwart establishment within the party that feels that, you know, hey, Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. If we just stay the course and hope for a better outcome and you know, are able to paint the next Republican contender for the White House as you know, negative than we might be able to win the White House. Is that a view prevailing?
Well, clearly there are people in the Democratic Party that have that view, who want to ignore the fact that Clinton lost the election, and she did lose the election. It's based on the Electoral College, as long as we have an Electoral College system in place. And, you know, we can all talk about the history of why we have an Electoral College system in place, and it has to do with the history of slavery in this country and politics that were dictated by slavery. But that is what exists right now. And the fact is, she did lose states that that President Obama won, and she lost them not just because of the interventionist role of the FBI or the WikiLeaks expose. She lost those states because a lot of people, a lot of working people, did feel that the Democratic Party has abandoned them, that didn't represent and speak to their interests. A lot of people, if you look at the number of voters in those states who voted and left the top spot blank, that was more than the difference in Michigan and Wisconsin and probably Pennsylvania as well. And a lot of millennial voters who were so animated and energized by the Bernie Sanders campaign also, who did not vote in the numbers that the Democrats needed to win those elections. That should be a signal that there does need to be some reevaluation by those who have historically been so tied to the Chamber of Commerce and to Wall Street and the Democratic Party, need to take a fresh look at where do their alliances look? Where does the future of the Democratic Party look? Where is there a different direction that the Democratic Party needs to go? A lot of those people who are opposing Keith also are not comfortable with the role of Bernie Sanders being clearly the a leader of the opposition to what's coming up in the Trump administration. We understand that is really, it's our view that is the direction the Democratic Party should go, and that's what NNU strongly supports and will continue to campaign for.
Chuck, how do you respond to those who say you're wasting your time trying to push the Democratic Party to the left? This is a party that is just not worth salvaging. It's proven it time and time again. We need to either focus all our efforts on politics and political organizing outside of the electoral system, or some say focus on creating a new party or throwing your weight behind a third party. And of course, a large and you know, well-respected union like the nurses do have a strong influence. So how do you respond to those kind of critiques of your attempt to push the Democratic Party to the left?
I think it's kind of a false dichotomy to say there's a distinction between trying to push the Democratic Party to the left and engaging in political activism that's outside the Democratic Party. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. In fact, if we're going to build a broad movement in this country to take on the attacks that are coming down under the incoming Trump administration, We're going to be needing everyone to be involved in political activism. We're going to be needing everyone to be involved in movement building. There's a lot of progressive activism that has gone on in this country for a number of years. We helped organize a people's summit in Chicago in June, in which 3,000 people who have been activists for a long time, many who come out of the immigration rights movement, people who were involved in the WTO protest in Seattle in the late 1990s, people involved in all kinds of progressive movements and activism participated, and those people want to be part of a broad movement, and we're going to need to be engaged in at a number of different levels of trying to get people in motion to protect our rights, to defend the gains that we've won in the past. We're seeing now there was a big action today in Washington, D.C., where a million people submitted signatures to Congress calling for an end to the efforts to privatize Medicare. We're going to need a lot of people involved in the political process at different levels. But part of that is organizing around a progressive vision, whether it's inside the Democratic Party, whether it's activism outside the Democratic Party. And those other discussions will take place. But right now, people have to be in motion, and we're confident they will be.
Well, what sort of direction, or how would you envision a Democratic National Committee moving under Keith Ellison's leadership? If he is indeed elected to the head of the DNC, what sort of changes do you expect the party to embrace and hope the party will embrace?
Well, I think we're going to need a movement behind him like we would anybody in that mm-hmm. position. We're going to need to keep the pressure on politics in this country and on the Democratic Party to understand that it needs to move in the direction of actually challenging the destruction that neoliberal policies have created in this country. So, for example, we've been out there saying if you're going to talk about repealing the Affordable Care Act, which did not solve our healthcare crisis, let's fight for a real alternative. That alternative is Medicare for all, a single payer system, which is the only way to really solve our healthcare crisis in this country. We believe that we should be making that demand at the federal level, at the state level, and there are state single payer movements all over the country. We believe that we should be demanding that there be a progressive tax system, such as taxing Wall Street speculation. We believe there are a lot of those kind of movement building that should occur and can occur even under the horrors of what the Trump administration might be bringing us. Remember that those of us who have been around a while, of which I count myself as one, remember that even when Nixon was the president, we were able still to pass very significant laws calling for clean air and clean water, occupational safety and health, that were a direct response to the fact that there were mass movements underway that also stopped the war in Vietnam. We can remember that when Reagan was elected in 1980, there was mass movements that challenged his policies in Central America that actually ended U.S. support for the apartheid regime in South Africa. It is possible to build movements and to win victories even under right-wing administrations. And that's the kind of attitude and campaigns that we think will be needed today.
Charles, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and spending this time explaining why Keith Ellison's leadership could be so important. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Charles Idelson, Communications Director with the National Nurses United. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/ruwithsonali.